Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Last Sunday morning, for our Bible study, we looked at verses 21 to 28, where our Lord healed the daughter of a Canaanite woman who had come to him for mercy. She came begging for mercy, and she wouldn't stop begging. She begged and she would not stop begging. And is that not the child of God? We beg and beg and beg. And verse 28 says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith that just keeps you looking to me and keeps you coming to me. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now this morning we're going to look at verses 29 to 31. And before we read this, I want to tell you that I believe this is a full of awe subject. Awful, awesome, awesome. And I pray the Lord will open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to truly see this and truly believe this. I pray that we all might have great faith, just like that woman had. May God give us great faith to see and believe this right here. Look with me, if you would, at verse 29. It says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel." They glorified the God of Israel. When they saw, they brought all of their loved ones to him. And he healed them, and they saw what he did. And as they saw the reality of this, in seeing it, they glorified the God of Israel. And when I read that, the first thought that went through my mind was, I want to do that. I truly want to do that. I want to do that in heart. I want to do that in preaching. I want that to be my message. When people leave this place, this is my desire for everybody who's here. Everybody came here, got up, got dressed, came here. We'll be here for a minute, and then we're all going to leave. And here's my desire. This is all I want. It doesn't matter if people say, "Man, that's a good speaker." Or, "Man, he this," or, "Man, he that." I don't care about any of that. This is all I care about. When we leave, I want men and women to say, "He glorified the God of Israel." That's what he did. In his pitiful way, with his pitiful whatever, he glorified the God of Israel. Now, I got to thinking about that, and these three questions came into my mind, and these three questions are going to be the points of this message, okay? Number one, if we're going to do this, if we're going to glorify the God of Israel, if this will be our message, number one, who is the God of Israel? Number two, how do we glorify Him? You know, talk about glorifying God. Well, glorifying God. How do we glorify Him? Who is the God of Israel, first of all? How do we glorify Him? And what are we glorifying Him for? I tell you, that third one right there, that's a mystery until God reveals it to people. Everybody thinks they know the answer. Everybody believes they know the answer. But as soon as God reveals it, they say, I didn't know that answer. Who is the God of Israel? How do we glorify Him, and what are we glorifying Him for? The more I looked at those three questions, the more awe-filled I became. I just truly, truly am full of awe in looking at this. And I'm going to go right into it. I'm not going to set up anything. For the sake of time, we're going to go right in, okay? Here's the first question. Who is the God of Israel? Warm up your turning finger. We're going to turn a little bit, all right? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. What a glorious way to start a book. Oh, if the Lord would ever set those four words in our hearts. In the beginning, God. God. All right, do we have that? In the beginning, God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, God, Israel, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. In the beginning, God. God. I am. I am. Turn with me to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. No other God beside me. Only one, God. I am, none else. Genesis 1:1 does not say, this is important, Genesis 1:1 does not say, in the beginning, the gods. You know, you just watch movies and stuff like that, and they talk about the gods did this and the gods. It doesn't say, in the beginning, the gods. Exodus 3, verse 14 does not say, we are that we are. Doesn't say that. He said, there is no other God beside me. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. One God. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and that's the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. One. One God. There's only one God. Have we established that there's only one God from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible? There is one God. Who is the God of Israel? Here's the answer. The God of everybody is the God of Israel. The God of everybody. The God of all. The God of Jew. The God of Gentile. Male, female, bond, free, Scythian, barbarian, Moses, Pharaoh. He was the God of Moses. He was the God of Pharaoh. He's the God of the living. He's the God of the dead. He's the God of the saved. He's the God of the lost. There is one God, and He's the God of all. He is the God of all. This group of people over here in this country can say, well, this is our God. You know, this is His name. We call Him this name, and here's where He came from, and this is our God. And then this group of people over here in this other place can say, well, now this is our God, all right? This is the name of our God. And people can say that all they want to, but there's only one God. There's only one God, and He is God of all. God of all. There's only one God to glorify, and that's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, eternal, all creating, all owning, all controlling, Jehovah God. When we say the word Jehovah, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Three persons that make up the one God. I'm telling you, I cannot explain that. How can we fully understand three separate persons that are one God? But God says it's so, therefore it's so. We can't explain it, but we can believe it. And it's so. Who is the God of Israel? The God of everybody is the God of Israel. Heaven, earth, under the earth. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess He is God of all, Lord of all. Crown Him Lord of all. All right, second question. If there's only one God to glorify, how do we glorify Him? If the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, three separate persons, if they make up collectively the one God, how do we glorify Him? There's only one answer to that question. Turn with me to John 13. John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that's speaking of Judas, this is our Lord, the night he was betrayed, eating with his disciples, and it says, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. God, the only God that there is glorified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God is glorified. That's the only way that God is glorified, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 14, verse 13. It says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father is glorified in the Son. God the Father is glorified in the Son. Look at John chapter 5. Verse 22 says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. To honor the Father is to honor the Son. If we want to honor God the Father, we say our Father, we pray to Him. We give thanks to Him. Thank you for choosing us and having mercy on us through Christ the Son. If we're going to honor Him and glorify Him, it's going to be through the Son. To glorify God is to glorify Christ, the Son of God. If we're going to glorify the God of Israel, we're going to have to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory has to be given to Him, all of it. Somebody will say, well, yeah, but this is the New Testament. You know, Christ came, and that doesn't speak on behalf of the Old Testament. Oh, but it does. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 6. It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Who is the King of Israel? That's Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer of Israel? That's Jesus Christ. Now watch this, okay? Verse 6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There's no God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The same one who said in Revelation 22, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. And I'm coming quickly. Same one. So who is the God of Israel? The only God that there is. The God of all is the God of Israel. How do we glorify the God of Israel? Only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. The one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Now here's the last question. What are we glorifying Him for? I pray God might reveal this. What are we glorifying Him for? To say that we're going to glorify Him. What do we mean by that? Why do we want to do that? What makes His people desire to do that? What are we glorifying Him for? Turn with me, if you would, to John 17. What are we glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ for? It's because He said to His Father in verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. That's why. It's because He glorified His Father and He finished the work that His Father gave Him to do. What was the work that the Father gave Him to do? Verse 2 says, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. He has power over all flesh. He's not begging anybody to let Him do anything. He's not begging anybody to let Him save them. He has power over all flesh. He's not trying and hoping and such on and so forth. He has power over all flesh. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Our brother just read from Psalm 103 a moment ago, and it said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless Him for everything that He's done. Bless Him for everything that He's done. In the beginning, God created man. And it says man was good. Man was very good. And man willingly dove headfirst into ruin. The deadness and the darkness of sin, and that great devastating fall put all of mankind into a spiritually crippled position. Spiritually crippled. Because of that sin, man became spiritually lame to the point that he could not come to God. Did you know that the scripture says, no man can come? No man can come. Why is that? It's because he's spiritually lame. Spiritually, he cannot come. Because of sin, man became spiritually blind to the point that he could not see God. If God does not give sight to us, we will never see God as He is. We will never see, who is God? The King of Israel's God. The Redeemer of Israel is God. We will never see Him high and lifted up as He is. We will see Him laying in a manger. We will see Him as a fine young man, fine young adult who, you know, weakly walked through this earth. But if God ever gives us eyes to see, if he ever, like Paul said, it's like scales fell from my eyes, and I saw him high and lifted up. Isaiah said, I saw him high and lifted up. I saw the King. As soon as I saw that, I cried, woe is me. Because of this sinful deadness, man became spiritually dumb. That means mute. To the point that he couldn't cry out for help. Did you know that man by nature cannot even cry out for help? Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Can a dead man cry out for help? Man became spiritually diseased to the point that death consumed him. The Lord told Adam, in the day you sin against me, you'll die. You'll die spiritually. And that will eventually lead to physical death. Why do people die? Why do people die? Sin. It's because of sin. The only reason there's no death in glory is because there's no sin there. Where sin is, death is. But God the Father set his love on some of those sinners while we were yet sinners. He set his love on them, and he chose to redeem those sinners back to himself. Fallen, ruined sinners back to himself. And because he's holy and just, here's what we must understand about God. He is holy and just, and he cannot clear the guilty. And he cannot undo a punishment for sin. And he cannot sweep anything under the rug. He's holy and just and right. And because of that, the only way he could redeem those fallen, sinful people back to himself was if somebody removed that sin from them. They had to be delivered from their sin. So God the Son said, Father, I'll be the mediator between you and them. I will deliver them. Your holy justice and their wicked rebellion is going to meet in me. The judgment you must rightfully give and the judgment they're rightfully owed, that's going to meet in me. And when their sin comes into me, you think about our holy, spotless Lord in the garden as he fell to the ground and sweat and drops of blood poured out of him. And he said, I'm sorrowful unto death. I could die right now. I'm so sorrowful over what has entered me. He said, Father, as their sin is pressed into me, and I bear their sins in my own body, your righteousness will flow out. As their sin is pressed in, your righteousness will flow out to them. When their death enters me, Father, your life will flow out. I will take their place. I will take their place. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because in all points he was tempted just like we are. Why? Hebrews 7 says, he became us. I'll take their place. I will give them mine. I wish we could enter into the glory of the fact that not only did Christ take our place, he gave us his. He gave us his. I will take their blindness. When, as our Lord hung on the cross, darkness fell on the land. He hung there in darkness. I'll take their blindness and I'll give them my sight. I'll take their lameness and I'll give them my quickened strength. I'll take all of their disease. No man was marred like this man. No man bore what this man bore. I'll take all of their disease and I'll give them all of my health. I cannot help but think of the story of this man, Paris Reedhead, whenever he was a missionary 100 years ago in Africa. He was walking through the jungle with some native men, and they heard a faint voice crying, "Somebody help me. Somebody help me." And they followed the voice. Somebody laying there, "Somebody help me." And he said they came up on a man laying there in the last stages of leprosy. And he said it was awful to look at. The man was not even half a man. He was just rotting, laying there, couldn't do anything. He said, "Somebody help me." And he said, "I've never felt more helpless in all my life." He said, "As I stood there looking at that man, I thought if there was only a way that I could pick his rotting body up and press it next to mine and put his flesh-eaten face next to mine, and if I could impart all of his decay and all of his rot into me and impart all of my health into him, if I could do that, I would have some better understanding of what my Lord Jesus Christ did for me." He said, "Everything that they are, Father, I will become it." He was made sin. The sin that we're just so ashamed of. The sin that it's just so vile and so wicked. And he was made sin so we could be made his righteousness. Oh, that sinless purity, that spotless holiness. He said, "I'll take all of that to myself, all that disease, and I'll impart all of my health into them." John 17, verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." He said, "Send me to the cross and I'll glorify you. Send me to the cross, Father, and our poor blind people will see. Our poor, lame, helpless people, they'll come. The deaf will hear. The dumb will cry out. And the dead shall live." He said, "You send me to the cross, and I'll do that for every soul you chose to save." That's what the Father did. That's what the Son did. And that's what God's Holy Spirit, through this word and the preaching of this good news, reveals to all of his people. That's what the Father did. That's what the Son did. And the Spirit says, "You're alive. You are alive. Live. Don't do anything to try to live. It's done. Live. You're healthy." "Oh, but I feel like such a sinner." Not in Christ, you're not. You're spotless. As he is, so are you right now in this world. As he is in him, all glory be in him, that's how all of his people are right now in this world. Now that's something to glorify him over. That's why we glorify him. How amazingly wonderful the finished work of Christ is. How amazingly wonderful the finished work of Christ is. Every soul who has the glorious privilege of having the finished work of Christ revealed to him of her or her will glorify the God of Israel. Every soul who has that revealed will glorify the God of Israel for who he is, what he's done. May that be us. May it be said of us, they glorified the God of Israel. I pray so. All right.